Well, good morning, everybody. Nice to be here with you again after such a short time. I only ever in my ministry had to host synod once, and we used the local school because the church wasn't big enough. I had four farmers and one solicitor to lay out the school hall, and they all had a different idea of how to go about it. But it's amazing. By 9:30, it was all done. And now our call for worship. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples." That's from John 13, verses 34 to 35. And now we sing together in praise of God, "Shine, Jesus, shine."
Shining, Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory.
Now let us pray. Yes, Lord Jesus, we ask for your presence here with us this morning. We ask for your glowing, shining presence to lighten our hearts and lighten our minds. And as we ask, O Lord, we know that we're not fit for you to come into our presence because we all let you down in all sorts of ways. We hurt, we offend, we do silly things. And we fail, O Lord, to witness for you, to talk to others about you so often. We always realize that the opportunity has just slipped by when it's too late. And so, Lord, we ask that you will forgive us and cleanse us from all of our sins and set us free. But then, Lord, that is why you came. That is why you gave your life for us upon the cross of Calvary and died our death, that your blood might wash us clean. Thank you, Lord. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you. And we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful world in which we live. We thank you for all our friends and all our families whom we love and who love us. We thank you for the beauty of the fields and the skies and the sea. We thank you for it all, O Lord, because we know that you made it in the beginning. You created it. You created the stars in the sky. You created the depths of the universe. And you made us in your own image and set us free upon this earth. O Lord, how wonderful, how gracious, how marvelous you are. We thank you and we worship and we adore you. Glory be to you, O Lord our God, our King and Creator. And we thank you, O Lord, that you have given us gifts. Gifts to use in your church and outside your church. Gifts to use in the world. Gifts that can speak to others of you. And we thank you too, Lord, that we're able to serve you in this building. And we thank you, Lord, for all that, all the money that we give to this building, to this church, to this circuit, in your name, that you enable us to do. Thank you, Lord. And we ask that you will bless it, that it might all be used with wisdom in your name. Amen. And now we sing, Lord of all hopefulness.
Trust ever child.
Now we shall have our first lesson from the letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13.
The New International Version. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen.
Yes. Now we sing together hymn number 416. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
Like the whiteness of the sea.
The reading is coming from Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 9, and I'm reading for the NIV. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar full of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Amen.
Can I say thank you to our two readers? So beautifully reading, aren't they? It's lovely. Thank you. And now we're going to have a video which tells its own story in its own way, but which is also linked into what I'm talking about afterwards. It's your loving kindness. Let's enjoy it.
I lift my hands up unto thy
kindness is better than life. And it is, isn't it? God's loving kindness is absolutely immense and incredible. But before I forget, I want to say thank you to the music group for what you were singing before the service began. That too is beautiful, and you did it beautifully. Thank you. I can't remember. I've got a shocking memory. Did I mention last time I was here, just a few weeks ago, that the church is growing? Did you know that? In the last 12 months, for the first time for 70 years, the church in this country has grown. And most of the growth is due to people between 18 and 25 years of age. Young men have been going into churches and asking for Bible study. That's incredible. Only in my lifetime, we've always had to say to them, would you like some Bible study? But now they're asking for it. And thus, the church is growing. I think that's wonderful. We can't expect them to worship in exactly the same way as we do. So long as they worship the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all that matters, isn't it? Yeah, that's all that really matters. And now this morning, I want to talk about kindness. That's why I chose that video. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Now, first of all, a little bit of a tarry-diddle, if you like. It starts with Edward Kimball. He was a Sunday school teacher in the United States in the 1880s. And he took special care of the most troubled boy in his class, a young lad who seemed the most unlikely person ever to become a Christian. But he did become a Christian through Edward's care and kindness. And that man's name, that boy's name, was D.L. Moody. You may have heard of him, one of the greatest evangelists of all. And he, in his turn, taught somebody called F.B. Mayer, who helped to spark off the 1904 Welsh Revival. And he, in turn, discipled, taught an evangelist called J. Wilbur Chapman, who taught a baseball player, you may have heard of this man, Billy Sunday. He was a very famous baseball player. And Billy Sunday started a prayer meeting for businessmen in North Carolina. And these businessmen invited, in turn, an evangelist to speak at some citywide rallies. And at one of those rallies, a 15-year-old boy gave his life to Jesus. And that boy went on to preach the gospel to more people than anyone else in the history. He led an estimated 3.2 million people to Jesus. Can you guess his name? Yes, Billy Graham. I was in Chepstow when Billy Graham did a big tour in 1984 around this country. And they arranged for him to speak at Ashton Gate, a football ground in Bristol, not that far from Chepstow. So we took a bus across. And on that bus were three people, a woman and her two daughters. And afterwards we learned that they'd only come in order to laugh and to mock. But they went home Christians. Isn't that wonderful? Now, as a minister, I sat and listened to Billy Graham on more than one occasion, and I could never work out what he said that I didn't. But then the people flocked down, didn't they? And so many leaders in the church in the last 50 years have come from that, from Billy Graham in his two, when he visited the country in 1968, I think it was, or 69, something like that. And I went to see him then, and then again in the 1980s he came. And so many people have given their lives to him, to Christ through his preaching. And all of that, Billy Graham's ministry, stemmed initially from the kindness of Edward Kimball to somebody who seemed very unlikely to become a Christian, but who did. So folks, never give up expecting people to turn to Jesus, because they will, especially if we pray for them and remember to pray for them and don't forget to mention the name of Jesus in conversation. Never be shy to admit that you are a Christian. It has its effect. And 1 Corinthians 13 verse 4 tells us that love is patient and love is kind. But what is kind? What does it mean to be kind? Well, we can all of us be kind to our children, can't we? But it's not kind to let them do just as they like. At least I don't think so. But can you be cruel to be kind? I think that's quite a question, isn't it? We had two children, Jenny and I, Robin and Neil. Robin, you could control him with a word. You know, he was up to something or leading to something not so good. Robin! And he'd stop right there. Now, Neil, the younger one, wasn't like that. You could say, Neil! He'd just carry on until you gave him a quick tap on his bum, and then he would fall into line. Was that cruel or was that kind? He's now a Baptist minister. There you go. Now, I want to tell you a story about a dog that wouldn't work, a sheep dog that wouldn't work. He was owned by Ernie Townsend, who lived not far from here at Great Wissington. He was a wonderful chap, was Ernie, a wonderful shepherd. He was getting near to retirement when I knew him, but not quite there. And he told me a story about a young dog that he took on to train. Every morning he'd take it out to the field with the other dogs. And he'd send them off around the sheep, expecting that this young dog would go with them and learn his trade by following what they did. It's a technique he'd used before, obviously. He wouldn't. Just sat there by his feet. And that went on for 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, Ernie got fed up with this, because you've got to remember, shepherds didn't earn too much money in those days. And they got an allowance for their working dogs. Well, he was feeding this dog, but he wasn't getting an allowance for it because it wasn't working. So, one morning, he took the three dogs out to round up the sheep. And he also took with him his gun and a spade. He'd had enough. It was time for the dog to go. And he gave the order to the dogs to go off and round the sheep, get by, that was the word he used, and off they would go. And this dog went with them. And it worked as though it had been doing it all its life. And he later told me that that dog in the end became one of the best dogs he'd ever had, and he even won prizes with it at the sheep dog trials. So was he being cruel or was he being kind when he took his gun and his spade and intended to shoot and bury it? I don't know, but there we are. I leave that to you to decide. Jesus was always kind. You've only got to read the Gospels to see the numberless occasions in which he treated people so kindly and so tenderly. Lepers he touched, and you weren't supposed to touch them. If you touched them, you weren't supposed to be able to go to the temple and take part in the worship there, not for a period of time anyway. The widow's son, who he raised from the dead so tenderly, little Jairus' daughter, little girl, I say to you, arise. And then when she was stood on her feet, he said to her parents, she's hungry, feed her. Wonderful. And then there was the one that crept up through the crowd behind him, afraid to face him. Little lady, she'd been ill for many, many years. And she touched the edge of her coat. And he turned and he saw her, and there she was, terrified. But he said to her, lady, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. So gentle, so kind, so tender, always. He even treated the servants of Roman officers. And they weren't supposed to have anything to do with Gentiles, which is what the Roman officer's servant probably was. But nevertheless, he treated him kindly and he healed him. Now back to the woman in our lesson from Mark's gospel. She came in, she gate-crashed the meal where he was. She hadn't been invited, with this expensive perfume. And I understand that in modern parlance, it would probably be worth £1,000 or even more. And she poured it on his head. And the people present there were scandalized. They were horrified. Partly what because she had gate-crashed their party, and partly what because she was known to be a bit of a woman, you know, a prostitute, like that. And also, I guess, because Jesus let her do it without objection. That would scandalize them too. And so they started to berate her. And she turned to them. Jesus turned to them and said, "Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She's done me a great kindness." But I wonder, you know, why she did it. Was she perhaps the woman from John chapter 8? The woman who Jesus saved from being stoned to death? Remember the story? He was there in the temple courtyards, minding his own business. And they dragged this woman in and made her stand before him and said, "Master, tell us, should we stone her?" For she was caught in the act of adultery. Interesting, isn't it? The woman was there. Where was the man? You know, if you read the Old Testament, it was the woman and the man who were supposed to be stoned to death, not just the one. But that's the way life is sometimes, isn't it? A lot of prejudice. Anyway, Jesus said nothing. He knelt down on the ground and started writing in the dust. And they looked up and he said, "Well, whichever one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And then he knelt down in the dust again, on the ground, and started writing in the dust again. And then after a while he looked up, and they'd all gone, except her. And he said to her, "Woman, has no one condemned you?" "No, sir," she said. "No one." Then he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, but don't sin anymore." So was she that woman, and was she just returning the kindness that he'd given to her in the best way she knew how? "Leave her alone," he said to the people at the dinner party. "She's done a beautiful thing for me. She has prepared me for my death in advance, or for my burial." How kind and gracious was that? Now I wonder, what acts of kindness have we received lately? You know, just think about that. How kind have people been to us lately? Or, what acts of kindness have we done recently? Or is compassion the same as kindness? In Luke's gospel, we read the story of the Good Samaritan. This young lawyer had come up to Jesus and he'd asked him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Well, what does the law say?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And that made Jesus tell the story of the Good Samaritan. And I'm sure you remember that story well enough. There was this man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he was set upon by robbers who beat him up and left him on the side of the road, looking as though he was dead. And a lawyer, a Levite, came by. Looked at the man, possibly. He must have seen him there. But he went straight on by on the other side. Perhaps he was afraid that the robbers would get him if he didn't keep going. And then a little while later, a priest came by. And he did exactly the same thing. He looked at him, passed on by. And a little while later, a Samaritan came by. And he went over. And he saw that he was still alive. And he anointed him with oil in his wounds, the way of cleansing them that they had in those days. And he bandaged him up. And he put him on his own donkey, which meant he had to walk. And he took him to a nearby inn. And he looked after him for 2 whole days. And at the end of those 2 days, he gave the innkeeper some money. And he says, if that's not enough to see him on his feet again, when I come back, I'll pay you your expenses. Wow. That was kind, wasn't it? That was more than kindness. That was going way beyond expectations. What kind people can we think of? Think about Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Ordinary girl, came from northern Greece, became a nun, found herself eventually in Calcutta, and found there that were plenty of people sick and dying out in the streets, on the roads. And she looked after them, she tended them. And then she started taking them back to the convent and looking after them there until they either died or were well enough to go on their own way. Wonderful person. Then there's a young girl called Jackie Pullinger. She was only a secretary. She felt God was calling her to be a missionary. And so she applied to the various missionary societies and they all turned her down because she hadn't got the education that they looked for. So she spent all her money on a ticket, a ship ticket. And she got off that ship in Hong Kong. Sorry. And she made her way to the worst party of that part of that city, a place where even the police were reluctant to go, where the gangsters were, and the drug addicts, and the drug houses. And she started to talk about Jesus to them. And gradually, a lot of people came to know and love Jesus Christ through her ministry. And that ministry is still going on today. Now she's getting a little bit older. I guess one day she'll stop. Well, think about the people who volunteered to be Samaritans, you know, the telephone service. They were sit up all night by the telephone just in case somebody rings needing help. Somebody who's standing on a bridge contemplating jumping into the water. And they will talk to them and listen to them and try and understand them and comfort them. What about Dr. Albert Schweitzer, who started the leprosy mission in Lamborghini in Africa? He was a very, very incredibly talented man. He was a musician of note. He was a mathematician, a scientist, and a doctor. Amazing man. And he went off to that little place in Africa where there was known to be a lot of lepers, and he established a hospital for them. And from time to time, that little hospital would run out of money. And Dr. Schweitzer would come back to Europe, and he'd go around different countries giving organ recitals and earning a lot of money. And then he would go back to Africa with that money to keep the hospital going. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. But what ordinary people can you think of who are kind? What ordinary people? Well, I think of myself as a 13-year-old boy. And I did something dreadful, which I'm ashamed of to this day, though I know the Lord has long forgiven me. And I was dragged up in front of Mrs. Turland, who was a bit of a harridan. She was the deputy head of that school. And she looked at me and she simply said, "What would your mother think of this?" And that was enough. That stopped me in my tracks, that turned me around. And I think that was kind. So very kind. But the greatest act of kindness, of course, is Jesus himself. But we must remember that Jesus and God are one. That's something I think that none of us can totally comprehend intellectually. Created by him, we became sinful. And yet in the fullness of time, he gave his life to set us free and bring us forgiveness. Do you remember the penitent thief on the cross? And Jesus' words to him, "This day you will be with me in paradise." And John 3:16, which we heard earlier. No, we didn't hear that one, did we? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Jesus talking to Nicodemus. But isn't that incredible? The one who created us in his own image caused himself to be born as one of us, stripped of all his heavenly glory, to become a tiny little baby, not born in a palace or even in a mansion house, but in a stable. His mother, a simple village girl. His father, a village carpenter. And he did it in spite of all our faults and failings, because he loves us. He loves us. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, "Love is patient and love is kind." Now may we love and be kind and patient to others as we are loved by him who created and saved us. Amen. And now that we sing again, "Let Love Be Real." And after that we shall have our prayers of intercession led by Val.
Give me your strength when all my world are weakened. Our intercessions demand a response. So when I say, God loves us, please respond with, so let us love each other. God loves us, so let us love each other. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we pray that others will see that our love is real. Help us to show our loving kindness by giving of ourselves and our resources to others who are less well off or indeed have nothing. We especially remember all those who have had to flee from danger or persecution because of their beliefs and who have left everything behind to risk a new life here in the UK. May we be a sanctuary to them. God loves us, so let us love each other. Help us to show our loving kindness for others by putting aside our own pride and humbly acknowledging the skills and talents of other people. Help us to listen to and appreciate the life experience of those whose culture and upbringing differ from ours. May we be a welcoming church, accepting of and encouraging diversity. God loves us, so let us love each other. Help us to show our loving kindness in our relationships with family and friends. We want to foster healthy, rich, and supportive relationships, not controlling or directing, but allowing freedom and opportunity. We ask that you make us brave and give us strength when our relationships leave us hurt and disappointed. We need your strong hand to guide us and lead us through difficult times. God loves us. So let us love each other. Help us to show our loving kindness in our community. Whether in person or online, we need to be open to the differing opinions we are confronted with in the media. Let our own opinions be fashioned by our faith in you, Lord. Give us the words we need to share with others our belief that you are the way, and that by following the way, we can tackle division and bring about peace. We especially pray for calm in our current political climate. Help us to do whatever we can to bring about peace in our world. God loves us, so let us love each other. Help us to show our loving kindness in the natural world. You have given us a beautiful place to live, full of colour and light and wonder. Yet we have disregarded it and caused damage to it. Our climate has changed so that we can no longer recognise the seasons. We have extracted your gifts from the earth in such a way as to leave chaos and scarring behind. Our throwaway society has been a source of litter and rubbish which have disfigured our surroundings. Lord, we need your discipline more than ever. God loves us, so let us love each other. Help us to show our loving kindness to all those who are struggling now through ill health or through loss. We need to recognise that we're not all able to cope with what life throws at us. Please enable us to be more empathetic to others whose circumstances we do not know, but who clearly show signs of anxiety and sadness. God, you first loved us, so let us love each other. Amen. And we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Val. It's almost as though you'd read my notes beforehand. So let us sing together our final hymn. Jesus is Lord. Creation's voice proclaims it, for by his power each tree and flower was planned and made.
Lord, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, God sends his Holy Spirit to show by works of power that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Praise him with hallelujahs, for Jesus is Lord.
Now may the Lord bless us and keep us and make his face to shine upon us and grant us his peace. Amen. Let us share the grace with a smile and a hand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen indeed. Thank you, folks, for your lovely singing. Bless you.